Don't worry, Sandra and her friend is with her today. So we've got the nursery covered. It's in good hands. So be aware of that. Sue, our administrator, as you know, had knee surgery last week also. She's going to be in a little bit each day this week to see how that goes. She's doing as good as can be expected, but really appreciates your prayers as well. With all of that said, if you will, would you welcome one another with the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Turn to one another and welcome them with the peace of Christ. All. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. You show me the path of life. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Let us pray. Almighty God, through Jesus, you say to us that whoever wishes to be first must become the least and the servant of all. And so as we enter your presence this morning, we do so knowing that your victory is won through the powerlessness of the cross. We come to pray that your church may be won. So teach us to accept humbly that this unity is a gift from your Holy Spirit, and through this gift, change and transform us and make us more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ, who's the servant of all. O bread of heaven, come down, we ask. Come down and fill us with your Spirit, because your Spirit satisfies like no other. We hunger and thirst for you this morning, and we long to be nurtured in that love and that forgiveness that only you can bring and establish. So come to this sacred time and place where our hungers are finally and fully satisfied, as only your bread can do. We will wait and we will listen for your leading in this hour. So hear us and receive us as we come to you now, offering our thanks and our praise for all you do in the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's praise the Lord by singing hymn 139. If you'll grab your hymnal, let's sing, Come Thou Almighty King. Let's stand and sing hymn 139. You may be seated. You know, one reason the prayer of confession is toward the front of the worship service is in any prayer of confession, we're acknowledging our dependence on God's continued grace. I mean, one reason that we come and we gather is we know we need the Lord. But the good news is that's the very thing we have. God offers Himself fully to those who seek His presence. And so here in this moment when we praise God, we also acknowledge, hey, without You, we miss the mark. But with You, we have more than what we could ever imagine and need for our day-to-day life of faith. So this is a moment where, yes, we admit there are times we blow it. There are times we fall short. But we also know that God is here to be our help and our salvation. So with that in mind, let us confess together. O God, whose glory it is to always have mercy, be gracious to us, for we have strayed from Your ways. Blessed are the poor in spirit, but in our pride we exalt ourselves. Blessed are those who mourn, but in our envy we recoil from others' happiness. Blessed are the meek and peacemakers, but in our wrath we lash out in revenge. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, but in our sloth we despair the journey of virtue. We have heard Your Sermon on the Mount, but so often failed to respond. Give us grace to walk in the light rather than stumble in the dark. Do this for Your good and Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God, hear the good news. There's no ranking in God's kingdom. God graces everyone with the same gifts: mercy, restoration, new life. God has kept the covenant. We have been forgiven. We have been made new. For if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old life has gone, the new life begun. Let us celebrate this fact that we are a new creation. Thanks be to Jesus Christ. And let's express our excitement as we stand and sing together the Gloria Patri. Be seated. I hope you'll consider God's call to be good stewards. And if you are thankful for God's many blessings, that you give in return, not under compulsion, but because you're supposed to, but because you are glad for all that God has done for you. And you want that for others as well. If you give, give knowing God loves a cheerful giver. God, we ask that your abundant grace would take the offering of ourselves, of our time, of our talent, and of even the resources you have put in our care, that you would take them and by your great goodness and power multiply them. Use them to bring glory and honor to your kingdom. Through us, in us, and even in spite of us, O God, send your Holy Spirit to gift and equip and empower us to be your witnesses in the world today so that people everywhere would know you and your good love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you're our young people, feel free to come on up. Any of our young folks. In the book of Matthew, and we talked about it last week, Jesus went out by the sea and he saw some fishermen. And basically what he did is he wanted them to follow and learn from him. Because instead of catching fish, you know what he wanted them to catch?
God's love.
Yes, he wanted them to catch God's love. And he wanted them to catch people. And so it says, as Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. We're going to fish for people. Now I have here a tackle box. Do you want to come over and see what's in here? I'll show you. Do you know what's in here? It's stuff you use when you go fishing. Now, if you were going to go fishing, what would you use to catch fish? Bait. Bait is what you use to get the fish interested in biting your fish hook. So you're right, Michael, but what kind of bait would you use to catch a fish? Huh? Crickets. June would use crickets. She's been fishing, I can tell. Fish do love crickets. They actually love insects. So you could have bait that might look like an insect. This looks like a very bright bug. What else might you use if you go fish? Worms. Yeah. I always used to go with my grandfather and dig for worms so that we could take them fishing. We'd put them on the fish hook, and when the fish saw the worms, wow. Some in here, what does this look like? Does it look like a fish? Some big fish like eating the little fish. So you could use that. Well, when Jesus told these guys that were fishing for fish to follow him and fish for people, what will they use as bait? How are they going to get people hooked on God? Huh? I love your answer. That was a very good answer, and let me show you why I like your answer. If you're going to get people hooked on God, there's something that you need to show them. Yeah, what do I have for bait? A heart. And you're exactly right, my friend. Love is going to let them know that God loves them. So when we go out into the world, you know what we got to do? We've got to give love. We want to let people see the love we have for them. And then, oh, I caught a big one. I caught a big one. And they're going to get hooked on God. Because love is such a beautiful, attractive thing. Doesn't it feel good when your parents show you love? Doesn't it feel good when your friends show you love? Doesn't it feel good when somebody helps you, plays with you, befriends you? When they show you love, it is a very attractive thing. So you know what I want you guys to do? Choose somebody that you would like to get hooked on God's love and figure out a way you can go love them. Okay? And that's what I want everybody in the pews to do as well. Let's pray. God, thank you that you cast your net so very wide that it can catch everyone in your love. I pray that that love would change us. And I pray that that love would be something we share with others. Give it to these children in abundance, and give it to us so that we have plenty to share with everyone you send our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, thanks for helping me figure that out. I appreciate it. Y'all give them a round of applause for coming up here. Let's sing our next hymn. Our next hymn is going to be, My Shepherd Will Supply My Need. It's hymn 172. Let's stand and sing that together. Hymn 172. be seated. If you want to, you can turn to Micah. It's in the Old Testament. You may not be sure where that is. It's on page 862 toward the back end of the Old Testament. And I'll be reading chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. And one way of looking at these verses is, imagine if somebody had the winning lotto ticket and didn't want to cash it in. Yeah, you might be wondering, what? God's trying to say to the people, I did rescue you. I did bring you to freedom. When there wasn't food, I supplied it. When there was danger, I got rid of it. When you didn't know the way, I showed you the way. I brought you to a land flowing with milk and honey. I even taught you how to live as my people. I gave you ordinances and commandments and all this stuff so it would be easy for you to know how to not only love me, but love one another so that your life just goes well. Just like it's been when we're together. But you're turning your back on this thinking there's a better way. What? Really? And the prophet is trying to let the people know there's a way that works. And it can be found if you would just quit walking the way of the world or these other nations around us. Learn to walk with God. And so Micah stands before the people. He says, hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains and let the hills hear your voice. Hear you, mountains, the controversy of the Lord and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people and he will contend with Israel. Oh, my people, what have I done to you? And what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Oh, my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord? With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He's told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let me be a splash of water falling on.
I'm sure y'all are familiar with Matthew chapter 5. It's the famous Sermon on the Mount. It actually goes chapters 5, 6, and 7. I won't preach all of it today, don't worry. But we're going to look at that part. Blessed are those who... I'm glad we have more than one gospel because, you know, in John's gospel, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And when you look at the Sermon on the Mount, it teaches you how to walk in that way. It teaches you the truth about that way. It shows you or tells you how to live that kind of life. So when Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and you say, well, I want to learn how to go that way, the Sermon on the Mount is a good teaching tool for that. But as we focus in on just this one section where he's in that, blessed are they who, Jesus is also a good example of each one of those he describes, because you could look somewhere in his ministry and how he was at one time poor in spirit, and what he did in that moment. And you can look at when he was meek and what he did in that moment. And that can let you know, well, then that's how I should live these out as well. But anyway, without further ado, let's get into this. Let me just open with a prayer and then we'll hear what Christ taught his big crowd there on the hill. God, let your word go forth and may it really form a vibrant faith in each one of us. Through your grace, just let your water pour, let your Holy Spirit pour water on the roots of our faith so that they can even dig down deeper into this holy soil and get the nutrients that we need to live according to your will and your way. Through Christ and in Christ. Amen. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And then he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Even though the Sermon on the Mount is rather famous, because as I said, it has been a great teaching tool for the Christian faith. The Sermon on the Mount is also easily misunderstood, because if you look at this section on blessed are they who, a lot of it at first glance doesn't seem to add up. I mean, the blessings that Jesus announces might seem strange because from a worldly perspective, that doesn't seem to be how things work. I mean, blessed are the meek. I remember being taught that when you're in first place, you get trophies, medals, recognition, acclaim, and rewards. I know that my culture always celebrates those who come out on top. Shoot, today's the Super Bowl. Who are you rooting for? I know our world is often survival of the fittest, and the competition that it creates can be ruthless and relentless. So meekness may not sound like all that effective of a strategy for living your life. Why serve when it seems like the most powerful position in the world is the one who has the most servants? Or think about the Beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit. You know from your own life experience, it's no fun when you feel poor in spirit. So our Beatitudes need a little more thought than what might be given at first glance, because they're really the opposite of the way the world thinks and operates. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. I want to use that as an example. It's important to know the word meekness does not mean weakness. Common mistake. In our modern day English, meekness doesn't seem to be that honorable or workable of a word, because to so many people, it carries the idea of a passive, quiet, humble, non-influential, weak person. To some, it paints the picture of a subservient, ineffective person. For those who are weak are those who choose the last place and don't seem by the fact that others have the first place. Meekness can be mistaken as the opposite of being assertive, of going for the gusto no matter what. That type of attitude that is taught in our ultra-competitive culture. But consider this. In Jesus' day, meekness, that was a word used to describe a horse or a powerful animal which has learned to accept control. The word meek referred to power under control. It was an animal, a strong animal, that learned to obey the word of command or allow itself to respond to the gentle pull of the reins. The strong animal was power under control. Just imagine the farmer. He couldn't ever plow his field for a harvest if he didn't have the mule, the ox, or the horse who would obey the gentle tug on the reins to plow the field. Never would have got anything planted. Used three times in the New Testament, meek is translated as gentle. It was a word the Greeks used to mean the opposite of lofty heartedness. An elevated heart, arrogance, pride. Humble in spirit or meek is the opposite of arrogance. It's the opposite of lofty heartedness, where one thinks of themselves way before any thought is given to the people around them. Biblically speaking, the meek are those who have learned to let God control their lives instead of being driven by self-serving, self-centered attitudes. Meek people realize their position before God and gladly know that even if they appear weak to the world, they can totally trust the God who is strong. The meek wisely perceive the true source of their strength and power. And so the biblically meek, they go about their life with the steadfast power of God's love directing and controlling their lives. Now, it was the power of God's love that enabled Jesus to come and take last place in our world as servant of all, so that the world could experience what it was like to be put first and foremost before God, our Creator. The meek, controlled by the love of God, don't mind coming in last so that others can experience the power of love treating them as if they're first and foremost, valuable. As we ready ourselves to celebrate communion this morning, I want you to remember Jesus' example of meekness. We're to do that whenever I repeat his words, "This is my body broken, this is my blood shed." You see, by allowing himself to be arrested and crucified, Jesus appeared to the world as one who was weak and had no power to control their situation. But we learn from Scripture the exact opposite is true. With each and every step that Jesus took toward his cross and most painful death, he was trusting in the power of God's love, not only to get him up there on the cross, but to offer the best sacrifice possible that would satisfy forever in God's eyes the punishment our sin deserved. He was trusting God's love to get him up there and do that. With each breath and with each step up the hill toward his cross, the appearance of this beaten and battered, oh so weak Jesus was really, once we learn Scripture, someone who was step by step, even in the midst of pain, trusting the power of God's love to destroy death so that he could arise from the grave victorious and hand that victory and all it contained to us. When Jesus was on the cross and appeared weakest, the strength of God's love was very, very busy destroying sin. When Jesus lay in a tomb, not only dead, but appearing most defeated, the power of God's love was destroying the grave so that death would be feared no more. And so it is with that same confidence and the power of God's love that we move into our hardships and into the darkness of others. It's there that we allow the power of God's love to push our own selfish pride to the side and allow us to become last so that others experience the joy and the value of what it's like to be first. Where we're reminded here at this table to take the place of a servant so that others can understand the joyous value of being served. Meekness teaches that when we let the most powerful love in the universe control our lives, we no longer have to worry about ourselves. And boy, that's a good thing. We're then free to focus our attention on others, which, of course, is what we're remembering every time we come here. It's what Jesus did, not for himself, but for all of us. And thank God. So let's prepare ourselves to come and celebrate this holy feast. The elders that are going to assist me, if you want to grab your bulletin and take a place here on the front pew, that would be great. If everyone else wants to turn to the liturgy and the bulletin. And I think y'all know the drill, but remember, when we pass the bread, hold it till everyone's served. The reason we do eat it at the same time is to remember that different though we may be, each one of us makes up the body of Christ together. The wafers are gluten-free if you need those. This is the Lord's Supper. It's the feast He prepared for us. So if you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to this most holy feast. And Jesus, who comes to be present with us now, said while He was here, "I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And it is that light of life that Jesus comes now in the presence of the Holy Spirit to shine in our hearts so that we can brighten the world of those around us. Let's prepare ourselves. Will you join me, please, in the communion liturgy? Great is the mystery of faith. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Let us pray. O Christ, our prayer this day is that you would let your gospel shine in every place where the word of life is not yet received. Draw the whole creation to yourself, that your salvation may be known throughout all the earth. O Christ, Savior and Lord, extend your church to every place. Make it a place of welcome for people of every race and tongue. And, O Christ, ruler of rulers, direct the work and the thoughts of the leaders of nations that they may seek justice and further peace and freedom for all. And, O Christ, master of all, support the weak and comfort the afflicted. Strengthen the tempted. Raise the fallen. And steady the confused. Danger, give hope to the despairing and sustain the faith of those persecuted. O Lord, our Savior, we do give thanks that even when we have failed you, you didn't fail us. Instead, you came and you forgave our sinful ways. We praise you, God, that in the fullness of time, you did reveal your love by sending your Son, Jesus, to be the light of the world. And so thank you that he came to heal our brokenness. And thank you that still this day, that he comes now in the presence of your Holy Spirit so that we can be made more able to walk by faith and not by sight. As your Holy Spirit descends upon us, We ask that you would bless the bread that we break and the cup that we bless so that it may be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we would truly receive his sacrificial love and be filled to the full to love others as you've loved us. And so, remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation the bread and the juice, and we joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we look forward to his coming again. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and a holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. So receive us now as we come praying the way that Jesus taught us by praying together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We do remember Jesus and what he taught us, especially on the night of the Passover that he celebrated with the disciples. For when they were done, he took the bread that was there. And when he did, the first thing was to give thanks. And then he blessed it, and then he broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat of it." And then in like manner, he took the cup that was there and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. It's sealed in my blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. Whenever you drink from the cup and you eat the bread, do so remembering me. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. You are welcome to this holy feast." who hunger and thirst for righteousness, take and eat. To hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Amen. If you will, grab your bulletin because it's got the words to our last song, Be Strong in the Lord. Let's stand and sing that as we go out together. Love of God and the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be in you and with you now and forever. Amen.